Let's proceed on to November. As we indicated earlier on, we are trying to catch up. The next witness is Mr. Shushu, who is the former head of procurement at the SABC. Mr. Shushu, first of all, welcome. Please be informed that by law you are required to answer fully and satisfactorily all the questions lawfully put to you, or to produce any documents that you are required to produce in accordance with the subject matter of the inquiry. Notwithstanding the fact that the answer or documents could incriminate you or expose you to criminal or civil proceedings or damages, you are, however, protected in that evidence given under oath or affirmation before a house or a committee may not be used against you in any court or place outside of Parliament, except in criminal proceedings concerning a charge of perjury or a charge relating to the evidence or documents required in these proceedings. I have been informed that you have opted to take the oath. Is that so, sir? So if that's the case, we could follow up to
me. Yes, indeed.
Thank you. I swear by Almighty God.
I swear by Almighty God
that the evidence I shall give,
that the evidence I shall give,
will be the truth,
will be the truth,
the whole truth,
the whole truth,
and nothing but the truth,
and nothing but the truth.
Please raise your hand and say, "So help me God."
So help me God.
Thank you, sir. And I'm using that watch of advocate. It is 12:05. You've got until 10:50. Is that okay, sir? Thank you very much.
Mr. Shushu, can you, for the record, state your full particulars?
My name is Madoda Madodana Shushu. I am the GE head of procurement former GE head of procurement for the SABC.
When did you join the SABC, and from which period were you GE procurement, and when did you exit the corporation?
I effectively joined the SABC in April 2013, after I've gone through a vigorous interview by the board members, including the GCO. And my last formal day was, end of October 2016, after I've gone through a suspension of 10 months.
Let's first get an understanding of your role as GE procurement.
My role basically is to give the organization a strategic direction in terms of all the supply chain activities, ranging from the demand, acquisition, up to the disposal of all the assets, not excluding the materials management, which looks at the storage of materials in the organization, and also be responsible for inbound and outbound logistics. Moreover, I was also responsible for the triple BE, which is Black Economic Empowerment, broad-based Black Economic Empowerment, contract management, the procure to pay, and in the national strategic sourcing.
Can we, for the purpose of this exercise, focus on the procurement, on the sourcing part?
No problem.
In terms of policy and the legislative framework that were applicable and how you did things at the SABC under your leadership, can you go through the classical steps that would unfold before we eventually the SABC could contract with a service provider.
Okay. Basically, when you source good services and works for the organization, we rely on the business unit's requirements. Basically, we put through a formal request to source either good services or works through the procurement. And then immediately, we assign resources. Normally, resources that will come from the assurance providers, the BU, and the procurement representative, to make sure that there's proper governance in terms of sourcing of those goods and services. Then this allows the bid specification to look at the requirements of either those goods and services, which is one of the governance structures that forms part of the sourcing. And then we also appoint the bid evaluation committee, which basically look at the adjudication of the responses, which is basically the bidders or tenderers. They adjudicate and then recommend to the approval body, depending on the threshold of that particular body. I can just highlight that prior my departure within the SABC, there was a change on DEF whereby I was given authority to approve up to 5 million as a head of procurement. And then the executive directors, they were given powers up to 10 million. Anything above that, it went to the PHC, and then after ESCO, and then the board. Upon receipt of those submissions, the adjudicate, recommend, and then the business gets awarded to the prospective bidder.
Correct that you made a statement dated December 2016?
Yes, indeed. I did make a statement.
And I note that the statement hasn't been signed. Do you have a signed one?
Not yet. I will sign it off when we're done with the process.
But with your permission, the statement was circulated to members of the committee so that it could assist them to gravitate some of the issues that are subject to discussion. Are you comfortable with that?
No, I'm very comfortable.
So from the process that you have just outlined, it shouldn't be a struggle to get paper trail for any transaction at the SABC, is that correct?
Indeed.
On the first page of your statement, in the second paragraph, you say that you have raised grave concerns regarding transactions which have had indication of potential elements of maladministration, irregular and wasteful expenditure, fraud and corruption, improper conduct, and abuse of power.
Definitely, I did.
Can you take the committee through some of these transactions by identifying what the transaction was? Who were the participants in those transactions? And what gave rise to your observations? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Okay, thank you, Chair. I must highlight that prior to my departure, prior being suspended at the SABC, I have indeed raised grave concerns as the executive custodian of procurement division pertaining to transactions that were executed, number one, without procurement involvement. Some of them, they were executed, but then the obligation were not satisfied by the service providers. When I raised those concerns, I escalated to my GCO, who was at that point Mr. Franz Matlala, and further escalated to the chief audit officer or chief audit, internal audit officer. reading being that, you know, when you acquire the goods and services, as I highlighted earlier on, there should be a multidisciplinary, you know, teams that look into those acquisitions. And although that came, most of them they came as deviations, citing the agency of the requirement in the organization. I had mechanisms within my division whereby even if it's a deviation, we will run a desktop exercise just to ascertain the requirements by the business unit. In this case, some of them didn't reach my desk. The one that reached my desk, I realized that there was no fulfillment of contractual obligations, but the payments were effected, which was a serious concern for me that as an organization, and specifically having directors, executive directors, who have the fiduciary duties, you know, to ensure that the organizations run efficiently and effectively. They have bypassed or avoided following the due process. So that was one of my major factors. And another thing that I picked up that I'll highlight one of the examples whereby I was summoned by the board subcommittee, I think it was governance and ethics, pertaining to the a process that unfolded for the acquisition of the Asia service provider. The issue that was raised, which I didn't take it kindly because I knew for the fact that there was indeed a formal process that was followed, and there was a formal request that came through the GE HR, Mr. Jagan Mabaso, for us to institute this process, only to find out that we got a directive to cancel. And I found it to be irregular because the reasons for cancellation, they were not in line with our regulation. But then the issue that was raised was that the cancellation was based on the fact that we had interfered with the board's issues. But what I did, I put my strong point to the board members of the subcommittee, which were represented by the chairman of the board, if I recall, and the deputy who is currently the chairman of the board, that I've discharged my duties effectively as the executive or head of procurement of the SABC. But what we did with the GE, we sat down and determined how can this be resolved without putting the organization's reputation at stake, because really, if you were to cancel an official commitment, it's upon the service providers, you know, prerogative to take it up, you know, legally. Be that as may, we initiated a process whereby we have to first test waters, and because the company, we had a very long-term relationship with them. We have a supply relationship management, you know, a strategy with them. We just tested waters, the company acceded to the cancellation.
This particular contract had it gone through the entire government structures.
Indeed.
And had those government structures approved it.
Indeed.
Now, why did it have to go to the Governance and Ethics Committee? Did they have to approve this?
The reason that it went to them is basically the fact that the service provider that was going to be appointed was going to assist the board to acquire the services of employing the GCEO and the CFO. So, which is why they've raised the issue of interference by myself and the GEHR. although that really unfolded, we closed the process as it was instructed, and because we have reached a consensus prior, the official consultation with the service provider. But what concerned me there was that another process was followed subsequent to the cancellation, and the vendor was brought in to run the whole process. As a leader, you know, I had my general managers, or senior managers, reporting to me. I've brought in a culture whereby I say, from time to time, we need to sample transactions, you know, just randomly, and identify any gaps if there are, you know, with, you know, in the process. Fortunately, this was one of the transactions that was sampled, and we picked up that there was also an irregular payment that was done on this particular service provider. As you know, when you go through the employment process, if it does happen that the organization fails to get a candidate, the service provider gets an instruction to do a headhunting process. So this company built a SAPC for headhunting, taking into account that the people that were appointed were internally.
I just want to get clarity. When the group executive HR sent you the instruction to initiate the procurement process for the service provider for the recruitment of both the CEO as well as the CFO, did he, at that stage, did he have the authority of the board to go source for a service provider?
Unfortunately, I'm not quite sure really, but what I know was that this was within the service that was sourced was within his powers of authority.
But at that at the time, was there a decision by the board to say we are now going to embark on a process or recruitment drive to recruit the group CEO and the CFO?
Yes, indeed.
You then say that process that you and the GEHR had undertaken was stopped and cancelled. Did I hear you correctly then that you say there was another process that was initiated?
Yes,
who initiated that process?
My understanding was that there was no specific group executive that was involved. That is myself as the custodian of the process and the GEHR. Presumably the board themselves handled that process without the key custodians.
Do you have any idea how the sourcing of that service provider went about?
Unfortunately not.
But ordinarily, in terms of the governance structures of the organization, the relevant portfolios would have been HR and procurement. Well, that's correct?
Indeed. It's basically HR and procurement. As I alluded earlier on, we ensured that we also bring the assurance providers, you know, in our cross-functional team or bid evaluation committee.
You seem to, you're referring to transactions in your statement. Surely that could not be the only one. Can you also tell the committee about other transactions?
Thank you, Chair. There are also instances whereby there was a service provider that was brought on board, as I highlighted earlier, who was expected to deliver. This was basically a service provider assist the organization to collect revenue streams from the exceptional clients, I'll put in better commas, who are pirate viewers. And And on that contract, on the initial proposal to the EXCO, it was alluded to the fact that the focus would be mainly there. I then realized later that the same service provider was benefiting on the other streams which they were capacitated to draw revenue as an organization. And I found that very odd that how can a presentation come to ESCO and later there was a contract that was put in place which is basically contrary to what was presented to ESCO.
So before we get confused, who is this company that HR and procurement had identified, which was later cancelled? What is the name of that company?
I'm trying to think of the name. I'll inform you. I forgot the name, but I'll tell you before we finish with the proceeding.
What is the name of the service provider that was appointed to the exclusion of HR as well as procurement? I'm asking that because you are saying on the transaction around the collection of revenue streams, the same company appeared there. So I need to know who is the same. For me to know the same, I need to know who.
The company that was appointed for the pirate viewing collection was, I stand corrected, I think it was Lona Vision. Lona Vision. I'm still trying to put my head together around the. Oh, yes, for the HR services, it was Talent Africa.
Talent Africa?
Yes.
Now, is Talent Africa the one that HR and procurement identified?
It's the one that was awarded the business subsequent to the cancellation of the initial RFQ process that unfolded.
What were then the circumstances surrounding the procurement of services for Lona Vision?
As I alluded earlier on, this came as a deviation request and also came as a pilot project which has certain milestones in order for the organization to execute payment.
Earlier on you spoke about the requirements for a deviation. Can you, for the record, state those requirements?
In order to have a deviation to be approved by any organization, even the SAPC, the requests for deviation should be proven beyond reasonable doubt that it is either a sole source situation, it is impractical to source the goods, services, or works, or it is an emergency situation. Although when the request comes through the procurement, we have also put mechanisms to test the practicality or emergency or that sole source situation. My concern is that if these are not satisfied, the transaction is null and void.
Let's then go back to Lona Vision. You say it was a deviation. Did that transaction qualify, in your view, as a deviation?
I must say, this These are one of those transactions that gets slipped through Exco. But it was pitched as a special vehicle that will assist the organization to increase revenue. And also it will assist us to tap into those pirate viewers that are not honoring the obligation to the organization. Taking into account that it was revenue linked, when applying our minds as a special vehicle, we thought that it would be appropriate to look into it, and we couldn't even have any other business case that I know of within the organization. So the fact that it was going to bring revenue, I was comfortable with that. But when I realized that there's some hidden agendas, I'll put it this way, in this contract, you know, which I was not really comfortable with, because I don't think there's any company director that would want to pay a service provider without satisfying the requirements or meeting the contractual obligation, which is why I've escalated this to the GCO and the internal audit. Moreover, we basically took this to the step of reporting it to the statutory bodies. It went to the AG and the National Treasurer.
What happened then at the AG and the National Treasury? Was there ever an investigation around this particular transaction?
My understanding is that yes, there was indeed, but that was already on suspension, so I couldn't follow it up. So it happened during the phase when I was on suspension. We took it up with those statutory bodies.
What other transactions were of concern, and what were the cause for concern?
One of the famous things everyone knows about it towards the public domain was the acquisition of the studio. The studio also didn't follow procurement due process. It was irregularly awarded to the service to the supplier / vendor without my knowledge as the head of procurement. We're talking about a transaction of plus minus 43 million here, which was done outside procurement. And this happened after the DEF delegation of authority was amended, giving powers to the directors. And when I realized, so when this was brought to my attention, I took it upon myself to question the GM in charge, including the GE, about this process. And I also highlighted the irregularities about this particular transition and informed them that when it comes to my desk, I won't attach my signature on this one. You remember that there was also an announcement that went to the media through the television by our COO, Mr. Hlaodi Motsoeneng, saying that, I'm not quoting him, I'm just saying that utilizing the procurement services is a waste of time in a way. So if you want to get something, we do it ourselves without procurement in a way. Maybe you can refer to that public statement where he spoke about this. And it was a very strange kind of announcement, taking into account that for the position, for this senior position of organization, I wouldn't expect anyone announcing that kind of information in the public domain. Another one which I was not really comfortable with was the Sekela Tlhabiso acquisition came through procurement through a division process again, and the CFO's citing the urgency of dealing with the irregular expenditure. Due to the pressures at that point in time, you know, we couldn't even utilize our procurement toolbox, you know, toolkit to test the market. Although they were appointed, my concern was that he gave assurance to the ExCo that this will resolve the irregular expenditure within the organization. It must also be noted that that was prior my initiative within procurement, whereby we've gone through a very extensive exercise in trying to get the documents which are relating to this irregular expenditure. And it must be noted by the House that those documents were historic documents. You will get to a point whereby you find the contract, but you don't get the whole end-to-end process, you know, documentation. Or sometimes you will find a submission to ESCO, that or ESCO or any other proper body that was signed, but you can't find a contract. And in that case, those transactions will be deemed to be irregular by any auditor that comes and audits the process.
My time is running up. I just want to touch on this important point. The as group executive procurement, you served at ExCo. Is that correct?
I serve as the ESCO invitee, full-time invitee. But immediately after the departure of the GCO, Ms. Lava Mohomo, the powers reigned in the organization. And the COO, who claimed to be acting administratively as the CEO of the organization, announced at ESCO that there was a resolution taken, a board, I presume that could be a board subcommittee then, to change the structure of my reporting from the GCO to the CFO. And take into account that for me, I was not really worried who I report to. You know, my duty is to ensure that I do my job to the utmost best. But later I discovered that there was no resolution in that regard. When I verified with the chairman of the HR committee, who was Mr. Mabuso at that point in time. So this also brought some gray areas, you know, in terms of decision-making that is taken within the organization without any formal documentation supporting those particular decisions. Another one that I must highlight is very key. There was a specific submission that came to ESCO, slipped through again, not formally, slipped through by the CFO, who is currently the acting GCO for the organization, suggesting to appoint a procurement consultant, and I didn't know about it. So I advanced my argument at ESCO about this particular matter, and the assurance provider supported this argument of mine. And there was a resolution that myself as the group executive procurement and CFO must go resolve this matter outside the meeting. I think Mr. Zizi highlighted this particular transaction when he was here. Two weeks later, the lady was appointed. So basically, the directors defied even the approval structures resolutions. She came in, worked, and also realized that her contract value, she was supposed to work for a period, I think, of she was supposed to work for a period of, I stand corrected, 6 weeks. She ended up working for more than 1 year. And her contract value increased from 300 plus minus 300 to 4 million during her consulting, you know, services. And currently, I've heard that she's currently employed by the SABC.
No further questions, John.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I didn't warn you, Honorable Kwankwa, you're going to be next, but I'm going to give you 2 minutes to be starting with you. Sir, can you, in terms of Sikela Kabisa, what did you guys buy?
The Sikela Kabisa, the transaction were pertaining to the audit services. As I alluded, they were assisting the organization to clear the audit matters. Over and above that, they were brought in for the audit services. It must be noted by the House that the same company has been submitting proposals to the organization, and the business was never awarded due to the fact that they couldn't meet the threshold. But when it came to deviation, the bill, we paid around...
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Let me understand this. You're saying Sikela Kabisa provided audit services?
Yes, sir.
Are you sure?
Audit, yes. Assisting in clearing the audit matters, yes, sir. Including the forensic audit.
I'm raising that, honorable members. You'll recall that this was one of the documents that SABC said they can't give to us because of it may have a negative impact on the commercial interest, sent by a lawyer. Will not provide on the basis of privilege and because their disclosure may negatively impact on the SABC's commercial interest. You saying to this committee under oath that the major part of this Sikela Kabisa was audit services?
Yes, sir.
And therefore you're saying to this committee that there is no basis for a law firm speaking on behalf of the SABC to say to Parliament that disclosure or to provide this document to Parliament will negatively impact. Before you answer, I want you to be very careful what you say. A law firm sent a letter to Parliament on behalf of the SABC indicating that they will not release that document to Parliament because it will have their disclosure may negatively impact on the SABC's commercial services. That is what the lawyers of SABC said to this committee, denied Parliament access to that report. You are saying to me, sir, that the major part of that contract was audited.
Shepherdson, to my knowledge, yes, indeed.
Thank you, sir. You've got 5 minutes, folks.
All right, just the first question, you're saying on the point about the change of reporting lines without any formal board resolution being availed to the HOP, the COO and the CFO announced the board decision to effectively change the procurement reporting lines. Now, the question I want to ask is that in the previous presenter did make mention of the fact that the executives were uncooperative. What was the... By the CFO, you're referring to the current GCO, right? Can you give us an indication of the relationship between the two before he became the CFO of the institution? How well did they work together?
If I hear correctly, I'm referring to the relationship between the CEO and the COO.
Right, the COO and the current CEO,
yes,
who used to be the chief financial officer.
My understanding is that the current GCO was brought in by the COO to assist his office pertaining to governance matters. He was later appointed as the acting CFO and then he went through the process of interview, then appointed as the CFO, and currently the GCO. In a nutshell, he worked in the office of the COO prior being promoted. appointed to the other roles.
I'm asking you that question, sir, because you're saying prior to your suspension by the CFO, you realized that there was a flood of transactions in the estimated total of 100 millions of rands. In essence, I think it goes back to the point you made or was trying to make earlier, to say you have a COO and a CFO or CEO currently and a COO work together to try and loot the state institution. That's the SABC. You don't have to answer to that, obviously. It's a very strong, a serious allegation. And that is where then the seed and the problem that has to do with this uncooperative nature of the senior management, whether you deal with it here in Parliament or on other issues in general, including the issue that has been cited by the chairperson of the board. So what are the transactions? Then the question. The size of estimated 100 millions of rands. Are there other transactions which are of substantial amounts that you know of that you could cite as an example, where there were clear flouting of corporate governance principles and issues that have to deal with the PFMA?
One of the unauthorized transactions was the one that the CFO then, which is the current CEO, engaged on a contract without being authorized to do so. Immediately after the death was amended, it was a year after the death was amended, the division request came through for approval. We also discovered that when we did our sampling testing. But also what worried me, there was the fact that there was, over and above that, there was an increase of contract value by 17%. The contract was for 82.2 million, but the request for payment was around 10 million.
That's all from my side, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Honorable McCarthy.
Thanks, Chair. I'm interested in two contracts. The first one, the acquisition of the studio. You said it was to the value of 43 million, and it was outside procurement processes.
Did.
Who was it awarded to?
The company that got the business irregularly,
yeah.
I must just emphasize on that, was Vision View.
Vision View. And who awarded the contract? Who signed it off?
If my mind serves well, it was the GE TV. Mr. Verona Duwaka, that signed the award. No, I stand corrected. It was the GE, I'm not sure what role she is now. Project manager in the office of the GCO currently, I forgot. Oh, she's acting CEO right now, sorry.
Actually, no, let me ask you this question. Who gave the instruction for, if you know, for this contract, for this transaction to happen?
I'm not quite sure, but what I know is the fact that it was discussed in one of the meetings and they decided to put through the division request, which was signed outside procurement in our division.
Okay.
And I also like to emphasize on the fact that when you award a tender, prior awarding the tender, we also do some checks and balances as procurement. And we go to the extent of checking the director status. But on this one, we've never got the opportunity to do that.
Okay.
Yes.
And then, Segela Kabis, what was the value of the contract?
I'm not quite sure of the values total, but I remember the first one, I think, was around, I stand corrected, 5 million. And to my knowledge, they've got extensions, three extensions to try and resolve the audit issues, and apparently currently they are still working there to still try and resolve those audit issues.
So they failed and they failed.
Extension, yes.
Who signed off on this?
The sign off was the CFO then, Mr. James Aguma, who is the current CEO.
Yeah.
And again, I will also like to highlight that there are elements of conflict of interest on both the PwC and the and the and the and the company, the what is it called? Asanjo, sorry, second party. So yes,
yeah. Yes. No, it's fine. And according to company law, these are legally chargeable cases.
Indeed.
Thank you, sir. Honorable McLennan.
Chair, thank you. Just for clarity, you were saying who were you reporting to and you ended up reporting to who?
Initially, on my appointment letter, I was appointed to report to the GCO, which was Ms. Lama Mohobo then.
Yeah.
And later, when the announcement came, my reporting lines were changed to the CFO, who was Mr. James Akuma then.
Okay. On page 5 of your statement, you refer to, on bullet number 3, to potential leadership abuse of power in committing the organizations to millions of rands. Who are you referring to here?
The leadership I'm referring to is the COO and the CEO, and the current CEO. Who was the CFO then?
And same page down here, towards the end of the paragraph, you say the defiance of directors on a regular basis or on regulatory and legal aspects. Who are you referring to here?
I'm still referring to the COO and the CFO then, Mr. James Akuma.
Oh, so you just changed the what it's called. Okay.
Okay.
Fine. And then on the page, on page 6, what are you saying here? At the top of the page, the board of directors failing to exercise their fiduciary duties. What, in actual fact, are you talking about?
What I'm implying here is basically the fact that when the studio was acquired, it was quite clear that it was acquired irregularly. And from the director, non-executive director's perspective, I would have expected them to act promptly to either stop the process or deal with it, you know, decisively. But I've never heard any non-executive director, you know, talking about the acquisition of the studio. So that was also one of our major concerns, that they failed to basically, you know, execute their duties as the board of directors.
As a practitioner, if you pick up problems, how do you communicate your concerns in the system?
On this particular transaction that I referred to, they were escalated to the GCO, Mr. Franz Matlala was fairly new. This was after Mr. Matlala received an inquiry from the National Treasury pertaining to the allegations around the acquisition of the studio. It must be noted, when you say studio, we talk about the set, not the studio. Set, the look and feel of what was procured. And when I investigated about this acquisition, the technical team highlighted the fact that it's not a studio, it is a set. And this came after we have gone through a formal sourcing process. I stand corrected, it was Studio 1 and 2, who, when I checked with my fellow colleagues, mentioned that it was intended for the use of those studios. And I said, I stand corrected, but I checked with them, they said to me, indeed, those studios were acquired for that purpose, but then that process was also canned by the COO.
Do you know of the relationship that has occurred between SABC and AN7? Procurement of... You don't?
No, I was not involved at that level, but I know that there was an acquisition of... there was a deal that was between SABC and MultiChoice about the archives, something like that, yes.
So you were, your section is not involved in that?
No, not really. I was not involved with those kind of strategy. We, some of the executives were kept out on those kind of sensitive transactions.
No, I think the question is, your section, is it not supposed to be involved in that kind of a transaction?
As an executive, I presume that I should be part of that process. But I was kept out of the process.
After the... Okay. Chair, I think those are the questions I want to... Well, you're saying the 43 million issue was signed off by Aguma, you say?
Not really. I'm not sure other approvals that came, but I remember that the submission, it was signed by the current acting COO, I think Ms. Bessie. I don't know the name.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sotho.
It appears obvious that your division became a hindrance to certain people that wanted to enter contracts of their own that resulted in amendments to procedures and sidelining your total division, which would, in my view, be a total breach of the Public Finance Management Act. Would you comment on that, and do you believe that there have been serious breaches of the Public Finance Management Act?
Indeed. The FPFMA regulation was breached accordingly.
Would you refer in your statement to, on page 9, you say, I realized there was a flood of transactions in the estimated total of, is it 100 million rand in that region, or hundreds of million? I would presume it's 100 million rand.
I picked up the 100 million rand, and I'm sure by now the figure has increased significantly.
Can you provide this inquiry with a full list of transactions, as far as your memory serves you, with documents you might have? Because we need to get, you speak about some of the transactions, pirate TV licenses, audit services, studio acquisition, and you don't have to give it today, but in writing, so that we can get closer to the nub of the exact figures. Because we also see that irregular and wasteful expenditure, according to the Auditor General, has increased. And yes, that doesn't mean it was all illegal transactions, but one of the indications of the Auditor General's report is a lack of adhering to procurement processes, which seems to substantiate what you've been saying today.
Will do.
Then, could you also give me, I didn't quite follow the contract relating to the headhunter, the executive position or whatever, billing the SABC, and then appointing a person internally was appointed. I find that absolutely shocking.
Did.
Can you give us more information about who the person was appointed? That's the first issue. And secondly, you indicated a person that was appointed for a 6-week period on 170,000K or something, and now it's a year later, 4 million. Who was that person?
The lady's name, I'm just trying to think of a surname, was Ayanda Mkize. That's the lady's proposal that came to ESCO that was declined. And then the second point, you said the appointments that were done, it was for the GCO and the CFO.
And there was a bill from a headhunter's company.
Indeed.
But whilst there was an internal person appointed, so they did no work.
Indeed, that's a regular appointment, yes, indeed.
And then the last issue, that 17% increase of that contract fee. Just explain that. You, obviously, a process went through for a contract, it comes to your desk for payment, and suddenly see an escalation of 17%. That sounds to me outrageous. Have you ever experienced something like that before?
Basically, what transpired here, as I highlighted here, this was an unauthorized transaction. That was done by the CMO then, Mr. Aguma. Subsequent to that, after a year, a request for judicial came through for approval for an amount of 8.2 million. At the stage of invoicing, it came as 10 million instead of 8.2 million. Based on the works orders that we've looked at when we did our due diligence as procurement leadership.
Thank you, Chair. So, is my time up? So you would agree that what you have experienced, and please provide us with that additional information, is very serious in view of corporate governance and adherence to the Public Finance Management Act.
Do.
Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Kozla.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Shushu, I first of all want to acknowledge that you were holding such a difficult position, especially when confronted with that kind of governance failure. Having said that, I just want you to confirm something with me, because there's something that I'm reading from the Auditor General's statements and what happened during your tenure. You came at SABC in 2013, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And during that time when you came at SABC, the irregular expenditure was put at over 3.4 billion, at close to 3.4 billion by OEG, ne?
Yes, ma'am.
The following year, it went down drastically to about 400 million.
My understanding, I think I must highlight that we had a very extensive exercise that we initiated as leadership in trying to gather the necessary information pertaining to irregular expenditure.
Okay.
And that process did not necessarily then yield any positive results. So I'm not quite sure where does this figure is linked to, because when I left, I was not part of the whole process of the audit. I'm not quite sure. And I'm not sure what was the second traditional intervention in terms of assisting the organization.
Okay.
Yes.
No, don't worry, sir. What I wanted to say to you, I wanted to say some of the statements that you are making in your statement is corroborated by the Auditor General. Is that correct? Because I see that there were payments took off contracts without due processes, and there are all sorts of issues like that. Is that correct?
Indeed.
Now, the issue around the human resources that you were suspended on, is that, was that part of the purge on, as far as you are concerned, against you?
I must say, I'm one of the leaders that took a stand when dealing with matters of supply chain management. And any irregularities, irrespective of whether I'm in a meeting or they come to the desk, I dealt with them decisively. So I presume, yes indeed, it was staging. And what is worse is the fact that subsequent to my suspension, my two GMs were also suspended.
Who replaced you?
And
possibly their credentials.
If I may just finish this particular company.
No problem.
Subsequent to the suspension, the my GMs were also suspended. And both of my GMs took the matters to the CCMA. And it happened that one of my GMs got a verdict in the national. He won the case against the SABC. And SABC was instructed to pay him an amount of 170,000, you know, for his suspension.
Hmm.
Your question again, can you repeat the one that you asked now? I just want to, the last
no,
one.
No, I wanted to know who replaced you.
Oh,
because
yes.
That's very important to me, and I also want to know the credentials of that person.
From the information that I've got.
In fact, what I wanted, let me make it clear for you. When people are being purged, usually there is a motive, an ulterior motive behind that, and they will tend to be replaced by other people. I don't want to be giving you, to be putting words into your mouth.
In my area, basically, from what I've gathered, the two acting positions that came after my suspension, the first one was within the division of the CEO, and the second one was still within his division, but the gentleman that worked for him as a GM in the CEO office is currently the one that's responsible for the SABC procurement division. So they were his reports, reporting lines in a way.
Chair, my final question to you, sir. On page 13, you are saying there were contracts that were awarded unfairly to the same service providers. Could you kindly give us the names of those service providers? Thank you.
The first one, as I've highlighted, which I strongly believe that there's irregularities, it's Sagara Paradiso. The second one is Lona Vision. There's one that I'm forgetting. I'm trying to think. I think the list that I'll provide, it will show you all the details of the service providers.
Thank you, Honorable Oliver.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Shoshu, you were suspended for 10 months. After all that, you decided to resign. What triggered your decision to resign?
After my GM operation went through the CCMA, when he got a verdict, as I highlighted earlier on, there were new charges that they dropped, the ones that, you know, he won in the CCMA, and they brought in new charges. And I felt that, you know what, now it's final. And in actual fact, I was advised I got counsel from my lawyer that this is going to drag for a long time, taking into account that there's no charge now that are coming through. So indeed, they didn't want me back in the office.
In the last paragraph of page 12, you are talking about a sideline award to specific companies. Which companies are those, and what were they awarded for?
Here I'm trying to highlight the fact that, you know, there is indeed governance failure within the SABC. The awards here happened when there was an open tender process. You see, when there's an open tender process, you cannot do a second process. You know, you need to allow this one to be concluded and then come up with a second process. In this particular case, the companies that tendered in the RFP, it was called an RFP document for content, they were eliminated in the evaluation process. So the same companies went through, I'm not sure whether they've approached the COO, and then they were given a special platform to present their content in the presence of the COO, CFO, GE TV, I'm not sure of other members. And they got an instruction to give business to these particular companies. The only company name that I remember now, I can provide you the other number, the company name is Sofila. That's what I remember. Sofila was the company that got the business, which was initially related in a formal RFP document, RFP process.
Your statement is dominated by the term maladministration, wasteful expenditure, poor governance, abuse of power. Was this drawn to the attention of your superiors as well as the board, and who were the culprits that were perpetrating all this?
Both the non-executive directors and the executive directors, but the board mainly on the element of HR services, but the rest of the transactions was mainly the COO and the CFO.
Thanks, Chair.
I thank you, Honorable Honda.
Thanks, Chair. Mr. Shushu, I'd like to focus on the happenings around the Vision View Studio, because that's what precipitated your suspension, your staff suspension, and also the former CEO, Mr. Franz Matlala. Excuse me. Now, Saudi Watsonen famously said, I have a problem with tenders. If people want to do business with the SABC, they must come talk to me and we'll do business with them. Now, the delegation of authority framework was amended around the time of the Vision View Studio and other deals. Would you say that I would be correct in assuming that the DAF was amended to specifically, amongst other things, allow Mr. Motsoneng to procure the studio or the set, as you said, and those other deals?
I'm not quite sure, really, whether was that was for that purpose. But what I know is the fact that the flood of transactions with the irregularities came immediately after DEF was approved.
Right. I'd also request that you give us that list of those tenders. I think that's going to be very, very important.
We'll do.
Now, after Vision View, there's a Treasury investigation that started, and Mr. Matlala decides to cooperate with National Treasury. And I'm assuming you might have cooperated with National Treasury too. What is the response of Mr. Motsoneng to this Treasury investigation and your cooperation, as well as Mr. Matlala's cooperation?
Unfortunately, I didn't get the opportunity to speak to him or the current GCO with regards to the Vision View. What I know is the fact that the GCEO, Mr. Matlala, then assigned the chief internal audit to investigate internally, who was also later suspended, and she left the organization. So in a nutshell, I didn't hear anything from both the current directors, two current directors.
No, specifically Mr. Matsuneng, to this Treasury investigation that was started, did he express any anger?
He never engaged me in this regard.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Now, as we have it in the information that's in the public domain, the day before Mr. Matlala was due to be interviewed by Treasury on this investigation, he was suspended. And then this investigation kind of stalled because the Treasury couldn't find people to give information about the studio deal. Do you know whether that investigation did go ahead?
If my mind serves well, I was also served with the letter of intention to suspend 3 days after Mr. Matlala was suspended, and a week later I was also suspended. As I alluded earlier on, the matter was further escalated to Treasury with other, you know, transactions that I spoke about earlier on. And if I stand corrected again, if my mind serves well, I think Treasury did ask SABC to provide the documentation, and then I think Mr. Matthews was the one who acted as the CEO.
My last question, so you reported to Mr. Agumi. What was the relationship between, the nature of the relationship between Mr. Agumi and Mr. Motsoneng? Were they buddy-buddy? Did they back each other and protect each other? What was their relationship?
I'm not quite sure how to put this, but what I know is the fact that Mr. Agumi reported to the COO prior to him being the CFO, and I presume that surely they had a very good relationship.
All right, thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chauke.
Thank you very much, Chair. What we are dealing with, we're dealing with the corruption, maladministration, fruitless, wasteful expenditure, looting of SABC resources, which is public money. Now that you are in position of that information, as you promised the committee that would help, what did you do after you resigned with such information at your disposal, or knowledge, or knowing that there's so much corruption that is happening there? What did you do?
As alluded, earlier on, the matters were escalated to the statutory bodies, which is AG and National Treasury.
Then what is the response if these matters were? Can you be specific, therefore, on that note? At what level of AG and National Treasury have you escalated these issues?
You went to the senior management.
Do you know specifically, can you share with us the people that you give for us to be able to make a follow-up at some point, if need be?
It was a long time ago. I can provide you the names of the individuals that we had a meeting and presented the cases to them.
Okay. Now with the... In fact, I'm fine. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. I would just like to take the matter of the very serious, ostensibly very serious matters of non-compliance, which borders onto looting at the SABC, and one step further. You have resigned after you realize that there's no future for you there. They don't want you there. But in the meantime, it has become evident that those who wanted to have compliance are gradually being sidelined. Have you perhaps considered to lay a charge in terms of the Prevention of Corrupt Practices Act? And secondly, the Auditor General told us, you know, with a view to future investigations, and the Auditor General told us that they couldn't lay their hands on very important documentation. Do you know that there was a deliberate attempt by those who had access to those documents to not submit it to the Auditor General?
Honorable, I must just clarify the issue of resignation. In actual fact, there was a mutual separation between myself and the SABC. So it was not just a resignation, it was an agreement that we reached between the two parties. The charge is being reported. I've never contemplated doing that, taking into account that these were escalated to the Section 9 Constitution, which is the AG and the National Treasury. Documentation. Unfortunately, I won't have the details of the documentation, but I can provide you with the report, which has a high level of documentation that shows that these were the issues that I had with this specific vendor, and requested the statutory board to further investigate and take appropriate action.
You see, Mr. Sushu, why I'm concerned about it is, if you look at the annual report of the SABC, your photograph is still here as head of procurement, and clearly you don't want to be associated. You don't want that on your record. So I think it would be appropriate that you cooperate with your authorities so that they can get drilled down to the bottom of what is going on at the SABC and the irregular awarding of contracts. Can you tell us of a special meeting or a round-robin resolution that was suddenly called to approve the Vision View procurement of services? It was on the 31st of July, 2015.
Honorable, I must say, when the approval was executed, it was during the period when I was no more participated at the EXCO meetings, so I wouldn't know the details of the meeting that was held.
Just confirm that was actually ex post facto. The arrangement already was concluded, the contract was signed with Vision View, etc. It was actually done after the event.
Yes, indeed. It was an ex post facto.
Chairperson, I'm through.
Thank you very much. You're not going to get away so lightly, sir. The current acting GCEO, do you know what profession he holds now? Is he a chartered accountant?
Yes, indeed, Chairperson.
Thank you. And you indicated just now to us that the National Treasury investigation, somehow internal audit were involved in looking at it. I'm assuming internal audit would report to the audit committee, and the audit committee would take it to the board. Eventually, I would assume it will get to the board via the audit committee, subcommittee of the board. How does that matter get escalated to the board?
Unfortunately, I have no idea in terms of what transpired.
No, I'm asking the natural process. It will go to the audit committee, or the internal audit committee, and then to the board. Is that how it will get to the
yes,
board?
Yes, that's how it should flow. I agree with you.
Thank you. Honourable members, and maybe to you, sir. There's a document that we request from the board. They say that document is unavailable because it will provide competition to the opposition or is sensitive. You've said under oath that that document or that company in the main did audit work and continues to do audit work now, and you say that there is a potential of conflict of interest. You'll respond or correct me in that case. That document hasn't come to Parliament. We ask for the audit report. That document doesn't come to Parliament. All that information is shared by an audit or a law firm lacking Sekiso to Parliament. So those documents are not available. They can't give them to Parliament or else, in the one case, they can't give it if they don't have it. In the other case, it's sensitive documents. I want you, before you answer me, sir, because your answer is going to have serious ramifications on the reputation of a law firm and on the reputation of a chartered accountant. Are you saying to me that their reasons in your mind, because they will answer when they come here, but where you're sitting, that there is no reason why we should not have got that document that was done by Sekiso? And are you saying to me that in your mind that the audit committee report should be made available to Parliament? Not yes to Parliament. Those two we've requested and we received in no uncertain terms that those documents aren't coming to us. I just want to hear it from you because I think there must be consequences. And that's why I'm asking you, if you're not sure, you'd rather not answer me. Because it's going to have major impacts. Is there anything why we should not have received that Sekiso document? And is there any reason why we should not have received the audit report?
Chairperson, I'm not quite sure why the other reasons that led to the Parliament not receiving the documents, but I'm not aware of the cooperation document that you're referring to. It may have happened after my departure. But when I left, I know for a fact that the services that were rendered by Sierra Clubs then was audit services and forensic audit. Other than that, I'm not aware of any other service that they've rendered.
Anybody from SABC that wants to respond or challenge what has been said? No? Mr. Shishu, thank you very much. That is the end of your session.
Thank you, Chair.
As you say to everybody else, it might be the end of yours, but not the end of our session. We carry on until around about the 28th of February if members behave themselves between now and February. So if anything crops up between now and the 28th of February, please feel free to share that information with us, including the documents that members have asked for. if those documents could come to us sooner rather than later, because it will be part of our report. So we'd be looking forward to those documents as soon as possible via the company secretary and not directly to members who requested it. And the committee secretary, yes, via the committee secretary. You interrupted me, man. Gesiende Kersfees en voorspoedige nuwe jaar.
Merry Christmas and prosperous New Year too.
Honourable members, we were supposed to meet at 2. The boss next to me says to me she's going to negotiate that we meet at 2:30. So it will give us about an hour to stretch our legs. I'm sure she will then talk to the next witness, is supposed to be the company secretary, Ms. Helenet. So if we could be in our offices in this room promptly at 2:25. We start at 2:30 with the company secretary and then thereafter with Professor Magube. So we'll break until 2:30, till 2:25. Thank you very much. And to our guests up there, we should have greeted you before, but you're more than welcome. This is a committing session. And we are happy that you are showing interest in the work of Parliament. So you are more than welcome. Oh, by the way, the boss is full of nonsense today. Before you have lunch, all of you, can we go to V8? Members of Parliament, can we meet in V8? V8.